This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right. Touch the table, a little bit of football around the league, then back to business. David, music, please.
So I'll start off in San Francisco because Rico, one of your guys, got his deal, and that is George Kittle. He signed 4 years, $76.4 million, $40 million guaranteed. He is now the top tight end in the league right now. Are you happy with this, or did you just maybe want to move on and reset the roster some more?
You know what, David? At first, I was thinking maybe you move on, but he's just one of those guys. He's like Kelce, where even when you think that he's done, he's not. He's got a different gear. And with all the injuries they have on offense, he was the main target. Ayuk's not going to be ready for about half the season. So I think it was out of necessity that they had to sign him.
Awful contract. Guy's never healthy. He's on the downside. I'm done. I just totally disagree with everything
Kittle?
You just said. Yeah, he's
Kittle,
never healthy.
Kittle plays.
Yeah, he plays. Never healthy. He's a warrior.
As a football player.
He's also, hey, 32. Enjoy him the next 4 years.
That's why I was thinking just reset at this point.
I would never do it.
But see, David, I would need to see the terms because it's one of those things where I think he got $40 million up front.
Oh, even better.
So I think that it's one on the back end of the deal. We can just go ahead and let him go.
We do not sign high-priced tight ends in their 30s. We just don't do it. It's fine. I hope Rico's happy.
I'm very happy.
Well, let's talk about the Commanders here because it's funny what you can do with a competent owner that's not evil and everyone doesn't hate him.
What a selling point here.
They have a new stadium
coming
their way.
You're not the devil.
Pretty much. $4 billion project. A stadium will open in 2030. $2.7 billion of it will come from the Commanders. $1.1 will come from the district itself, but it's good to have a new stadium for the Commanders finally.
Yeah, but it's still not good for the public to be subsidizing 33% of it.
True.
It's ridiculous. You want the new stadium? You're going to make money off it? You buy it. Publicly funded stadium should be done. Dead.
100% agree with you on that. I never see because you're not going to give the fans any type of you pay part of the taxes? Here, we're going to reduce the tickets.
The best I can offer you is a sweetheart deal on the real estate. That's the best I'll offer you. You pay for the rest.
So we finished the 2025 draft, looking ahead to the 2026 draft.
No, we're not.
Everyone talks about, the quarterback class may be better. Tell me why I'm supposed to be excited for the 2026 class.
You're not. Here's why. Last year, here were your top three quarterbacks. Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, Shadur. How'd that work? One went back to school, one fell to the fifth, one got taken in the seventh while he was asleep underneath the head of a yak or a bison in his living room. David, I'm not even... is Arch Manning good? I'll let you know in November.
See, that's the thing, because the odds for the number one overall pick, Drew Aller...
But you say, I'm on fire? I'm on fire right now. Yeah. Sorry, ain't George Kittle. Look at these quarterbacks. They all blow.
Well, but it's true. The odds to be the number one overall pick, Drew Aller, trash... Garrett Nussmeier, I don't know, maybe we'll
see. He's been in school 10 years.
Exactly.
He's the same age as Charlton Heston.
A South Carolina quarterback, Lenore Sellers.
Yo, whoa, he's nasty.
But I have to wait and see this year, though.
Cockaboose, he's nasty.
But again, for number one overall, and then Kate Klubnik, and then Manning, of course, is number one odds, but he may not even come out.
Yeah. David, here's what I can promise you. The number one overall pick, we haven't mentioned his name yet. Because that's normally
probably
how it
right.
goes.
You're probably
somebody
right.
who just blows up and you're like, wow, this kid from
Bryce Underwood. Only player in history to go 1 year and done. He's that special. A report by Bob Wojnowski.
Unless you watch that spring game. Go ahead, David.
Okay, so the NFL.
Whoa.
Hey. Facts.
I didn't watch. I'm sorry.
Huh? You didn't watch?
No.
And you should.
I have a life.
I know Montreal Alouette running back, all-time leader.
Mike Pringle.
Okay. Pringle's chips. Go ahead. Mike Pringle, Pringle's chips.
Or speaking
Chris
of
Kringle, I don't care.
Speaking of watching, everyone was in the Shedeur Sanders watch party, basically, because the numbers went up significantly for rounds 2 and 3 on TV. It was up 40%. It was like 4 or 5 million people watching. They're also buying his jersey as number 3 in rookie jersey sales right now.
David, look, I know this is one of those, it makes no sense, but it's just a great conspiracy theory that Shedeur was tipped off. NFL, because everybody, I found myself on set like, why am I watching this?
Same
I just
here.
Want to see where Shedeur goes.
Same like, here.
Man, I got better things to do with
Watch
myself.
Watch it on Saturday morning.
Right, but I'm sitting there like, they got me. They got me. Now, the jersey sale, man, you know, because a lot of people, he's become a martyr. Okay, well, you treated him wrong, and he should have gone in the top 5, and he's going to show you. My thing is keep the receipt because, unless you want a practice squad jersey.
Well, you're right about that because in case he does not make the roster, the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL have added him to their negotiation list.
That's right.
So, I mean, they have to do that, right? They got 5 quarterbacks in that
room. What about the Alouettes?
Hey, whoa. Mike Pringle, 1998, 347 carries for 2,100 yards.
He will never. He will never play in Canada. That would be the ultimate slap in the face to Dion and the Sanders family. For him, he would quit football and just go become an assistant coach or run a camp or get a podcast. He ain't going to Canada.
But the sad part is he would play. Like he would be the starter.
He would.
He would learn to play the game. He'd get all the reps you're never going to get in Cleveland. I don't see a way they throw him out there. The offense they ran at Colorado
was France.
Well, that's why you don't draft him.
You know what? Jalapeno over here wins. Is there a lot of Italian dishes with jalapeno peppers?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Really? Can we please?
Well, let's close it out with this, guys, because everyone is talking about this story, and it is Bill Belichick's
I was about to say the
girlfriend.
Gorilla versus the 100 people.
No, we're not talking about that. It's Bill Belichick's girlfriend. And look, you could do whatever you want. It's not about that for me. The part of the story, though, it's a CBS interview where it's reported that she interrupted the interview a ton of times. There was one that they showed where he was asked, how did you meet? And she said, nope, we're not answering that.
I saw that.
And then UNC now seems to have a problem with the access that she has.
They gave it to her.
They gave her the access.
Oh, my God. Habanero Pepper over here. He's on fire.
Oh, God. Look, I want to be careful. Like, the relationship stuff, to me, we talk sports. But yeah, like
you can
when
do whatever you want.
When it's public and it's a train wreck and your wife is trying to be a celebrity, I don't know. It's kind of like, Bill, blink twice if you're okay. This feels like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. This is not normal.
This feels more like Ray Liotta and Hannibal.
Yeah, TMZ's reporting a lot of things here about that interview on CBS this morning was even worse than you realize. First of all, everyone deserves love, but you'll never sell me a 73-year-old finding it with a 24-year-old. Come on, there's nothing to talk about. You're old enough you could be your great-grandfather. That's ridiculous. Stop. This whole thing is a farce.
I don't know.
A lot of questions.
We got Shannon Sharp online, too.
Oh, I'm just going to end it right there.
That's not what we're doing.
In football today.
97.1, good to have you. If you want Iserman discussion, we carried about the first 20 minutes of his postseason press conference. Not ideal. But we are rapping about Brad Holmes, and I do encourage you to check out the morning show. I thought Jim and John did a hell of a nice job because Brad Holmes, Rico put it best, that was supposed to be, and I'm not being insulting in any way to John and Jim. Mornings are a little different. It's a softer deal. You know, you're not hopping in your car in the morning to get yelled at. That was a pretty easy interview, and Brad seemed to make it a little bit more difficult. And we've played some of the audio, and no, he doesn't understand why you want pass rushers. In fact, he feels like you have Aiden Hutchinson, and yet you're mad you don't have a second Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, that is one of the most disingenuous comments you'll ever hear. And I can, this is the case, we talk about it all the time on this show. Multiple things can be true at the same time. This is not a binary operation. You can say Brad Holmes has done a very nice job, but you can also say there's a level of arrogance here that is unwarranted. Now, look, we have arrived at something. I am not criticizing Holmes on any one particular thing because it's everything. It's the trade market. It's free agency. It's the draft. This was the last stop, and I think a lot of fans got off-putting feelings from them doing what they did in the third round, giving up three picks to take, according to Brad Holmes, his favorite receiver in the draft. And you go, all right, that's cool, right? Same guy who helped find Cooper Kupp. Same guy who helped find Amon-Ra. These are good things. But we're trying to win a Super Bowl. And yet, they didn't see fit to draft any edge rusher in round one. And I like Tyleek Williams, so don't put me in the group of people screaming that that's a bad pick. I'm not. They didn't draft one in round two. They gave up multiple picks to draft a wideout in round three. When you take something in the sixth round, it's very difficult for me to say I addressed a need. There's a reason Al-Hasamin has fallen to that point. Now, again, that kid, he's a dog. He's all effort. He is the first Egyptian-born player to even play college football at D1. He didn't even know how to play, and Boise found a gem.
Yeah. 2019 was the first time he started playing football. I get it. Right. And he came out and said, I'll die on the field for you.
And you know that
fans are going to love
that's
that.
That's chum in the water.
Right.
Right. The point I'm making is, where are you guys at when Brad Holmes comes on the airwaves? And I'll tell you what, can we play the cookies question, David? I'm not trying to ambush you there. I'm sorry. But he asked him, you know, do you at least understand why people ask? And instead of just saying, yeah, I get it, but there's a lot that goes into it, he goes, yeah, actually, no, I don't. It was, I kind of took a double take when I was driving listening to this. Here, take a listen, guys. What is that? Are you mad because you have Aiden? Are you demanding two Aidens? When we started the offseason, I think it's totally okay to say, you know what? Boy, if Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland, let's go and get him.
Yeah.
Or hey. If Trey Hendrickson doesn't want to be a Bengal, like, I don't think there's
Max
anything
Crosby,
wrong with that.
Right.
But when it comes down to the draft and fans go, wait, we had all these picks. And again, Aiden Hutchinson died in Dallas week 4 or 5. When the season ended 20 weeks later, he still led the team in sacks. 2023, Aiden had 11.5 sacks, right? Mm-hmm. The next closest sack total on the team from a defensive end was 2.5. This is a multi-year problem. So when guys like Rico are screaming about the draft, I'm not going to be the one to say, you're being an ass. You're unappreciative. Not doing that. And when you guys want to call in and go, wait, well, why did we trade a bunch of picks for a wide receiver who probably won't play a lot until 26? Guys, that's why this is a topic, is your feedback is what's required.
Yeah, and it was funny because when they traded up, I was like, wait, are they going... They got a person from Arkansas. It was just, to me, the wrong person from Arkansas. You could have got Landon Jackson, who went two picks later. And it's like...
Oh, Buffalo took him,
yeah,
right?
Buffalo took him. It's like, okay.
Now, look, I guess I choose to look at the big picture, which is they chose not to address it at all. They chose to, we're smarter. We have all the pieces we need. You guys are idiots. And away we go. And my question is, if you're a fan listening to that, what do you make of it? I mean, for him to say, I don't understand why I'm asked about it.
I mean, cut him off mid-question. Like, I don't understand. Like, just, yeah, why? I don't get it. It's like, we're not asking you to draft a quarterback. We're not saying, hey, who's going to replace Goff? We need a mobile QB. You can play multiple edge rushers at the same time. You've done it for the running back. You traded up and you got Gibbs. You traded up and you got J-Mo. But for some reason, this is the hill you want to die on.
It's interesting for sure. I don't have the answer. I can just throw the number.
I know you don't. And I feel like you. I'm not yelling at you.
No, you. Oh no, I'm good. 248-539-9797. What do you have to say about it? And if you're a Lions fan and you're not confused or bewildered or angry, that doesn't make you a bad person. I just want to understand. Yes, Kenneth.
Bewildered triple word score, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't understand the...
Flummoxed?
Yeah, flummoxed.
Vexed?
A great word. Another good word.
The best word.
The best word. No, I just don't get why he says he doesn't understand. Because, first of all, it is a sexy position, a pass rusher. Everybody wants one. Sacks are cool. I don't know, man. Like, to say you don't understand the desire for one, especially after year over year over year, he has not addressed it the way that fans have been clamoring for. I don't know. I that, to me, strikes me as disingenuous. And by the way, nobody is pounding the table anymore demanding a Max Crosby.
No.
We just want to give Hutch some help. Nobody's having that argument of...
Like, let me ask you this question. When we step back from the draft, Kenny, how many edge rushers were taken? Do you believe in your mind... Let's take the top 20 edge guys, pass rush guys, right? You mean to tell me the Lions didn't want any of them? You mean to tell me... And again... And Costa reported it this morning. They tried to trade up for a defensive end. Mm-hmm. So don't go on the air and tell me, well, it's your priority, not ours. Now, hold on a minute. And don't say you don't understand why you're asked about it or act like people are demanding another Aiden. No. When you don't draft a defensive end and you don't sign a defensive end and you don't trade for a defensive end, then people go, wait a minute.
What are we doing here?
That's a little scary. Because, again, you're going to rely on Marcus Davenport, who gets hurt, maybe going to the bathroom.
You're in your window, and newsflash, unless they get injured, you're going to be playing some pretty good quarterbacks this year.
That's the other thing, is the further we get away from last season, and 15-2 was incredible, and sustaining the injuries they did, and we're never going to get the answer whether they would have gotten it across the finish line. They were incredible. But the further we get away... You and I have talked about this. It's not revisionist history. It's just looking at it and going, they really didn't beat that many good teams.
Mm-mm.
And they faced one really high caliber team down the stretch, and Buffalo spit roasted them. You had a bye week, you go to the playoffs, and you got spit roasted by a rookie. When you go back and look, you go,
your
you know what?
Best victory was week one. Rams, overtime.
Okay. Yeah, but that's my point. Like, San Francisco wasn't any good.
No.
Dallas ended up not being. And this is not the Lions' fault. Can we all calm down? The point I'm making is, the further you get away from it, you ask yourself the question, all right, if the schedule gets a hell of a lot harder, which it has, and you lost Ben Johnson, and you kept it in-house, and you didn't add much to the defensive line, and I would argue you added nothing in the way of a pass rusher, is that going to make you better year over year? Yes, having a healthier defense helps, but you're going to be facing better teams. That's just the way it looks on paper. And losing Ben Johnson, I got to knock you down a peg. You can earn it back, but I got to knock you down a peg.
You mean he wasn't out there trying to sabotage in the final game?
Okay, yeah, not doing that. 248-539-9797. We'll get to the people. 97. All right, to the people. I got one NBA note we got to get to at 4:45, and then we're going to pit the GMs against each other. Iserman and Holmes, we heard from both today. You guys decide what you want to do. We'll go to the people. Jay is going to bat leadoff. Jay, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good, hey, Jay. Thank you.
Good. You know, as much as I respect Brad Holmes, sometimes he can be a real arrogant you-know-what. Because, it all started the year before last when they lost the NFC Championship game. You gave a 17-point lead up. Then you want to get on the radio or the podium and talk about receipts. Oh, this about Jahmyr Gibbs. It's not about that. It's about picking the best players in the draft. You know, as much as they talk about scouting and watching tapes, I can't believe they didn't find a second or third, fourth round grade on somebody like Josiah Stewart, who was sitting there staring you in the face. Jack Sawyer, right? Like, I look at the Rams. The Rams have Turner, they have Fisk, and they had Jerry Verse, which was the defensive rookie of the year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And they went out and drafted Josiah Stewart. Pittsburgh, Khan, the GM over there, mm-hmm. he said, you know what? We have TJ Watt. Let's add Jack Sawyer over here.
How about they drafted Derek Harmon when they already have Hayward?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, Brad Holmes seemed to double down on a lot of positions. If you remember, he got Gardner Johnson. He had gotten Sutton over there, you know, a couple years ago in the free agency. Then he got Arnold and Ray Straw in the draft. He seemed to double down on a lot of positions. Why can't you just go get a pass rusher? When Aiden Hutchinson got injured last year, it was a big drop off in our pass rush. It was so bad that you went out and got Za'Darius Smith. You gave up what did he give up, like a fifth round pick for Za'Darius Smith, and now you don't want to bring him back just because he got Davenport?
No, I think that, I think that's a money thing. I think they want him to come back for cheap. And look, I mean, Jay, Za'Darius was fine when he got here, and they made the best move they could make. But I wouldn't run to bring him back either at age 32 or whatever it is. I mean, Jay, I wanted better than Za'Darius. No, yeah, I didn't. You know, no, for the Brad Bots, I didn't want a second Aiden. But if Myles Garrett demanded a trade, I don't think it's insane to pick up the phone and just go, exactly. Any interest?
Yeah, you know something? I just have a question. I just want to know, what is he thinking to, you know, bring back Davenport, knowing he hasn't finished the season or completed four games in the season in the past couple years? And you got Aiden Hutchinson coming up. You didn't do anything in free agency. You didn't try to make any trades. Okay, acceptable, because Myles Garrett went back to Cleveland, right? But in the draft, you don't want to address it in the draft. What's your plan going into the season? Because, you know, when it's week 14, 13, 14, people are going to get beat up again. You're going to need more reinforcement.
And to your point,
what do we have now?
Here's I want you to tell me what these numbers are. You ready, Jay?
Okay. Yep.
0, 13, 1, 9, 9, 3, 1. Do you know what those are?
No.
The games Marcus Davenport has started in his 7-year career.
My goodness, and that's what you want to bring back? That's what you want to have opposite Aiden Hutchinson? You know, it's almost as bad as them bringing back Emmanuel Mosley, who hasn't played a full season in like 4 years. And
right.
It's like, what's your plan? Mr. Holmes, I know you can draft good. You drafted some of the greatest talent Detroit has ever seen in a while, but you can't go into the season shorthanded at edge rusher again, because more injuries are going to happen, unfortunately, and we are already shorthanded with the Lee McNeil being out, and you just have to move forward. You have to do something at edge rusher, but appreciate you having me on.
No, Jay, please, we appreciate the call. And like I said, if Davenport stays healthy, sure, age 29 season, maybe he can tap into what he did back in the pandemic year. I think he had 8.5 or 9 sacks. Like, I'm not saying for a couple million bucks, it's not a big deal, but I don't want to have to rely on that guy. The idea they didn't add anybody in the final frontier of the draft, that is surprising. I'm not yelling about it, though, because I have – how long have I said to you? I know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They think they got everybody in-house. Almond Milk Muhammad, he's coming back. Bob Lopez, we're going to do it all. I mean, Kaminsky retired. I wouldn't be sad they brought him back.
Yeah,
I'm retired. We still want you back. They love their people.
They do. And that's what I said. After hearing the interview this morning – I've reserved the fact that this is it. They're not out of spite. I just don't think he's going to do it, because I think this, once again, same man who had the receipt segment. Hey, told you I can win without another edge rusher. Aiden was enough. He is waiting. I bet you that speech is already written and it's in its pocket.
Well, he's done a hell of a nice job.
He has.
I hope they're right. I hope this all works out. You never can have enough pass rushers, and there seems to be a disconnect between their approach and then how the league approaches it. And I don't think that's mean or slanderous. Let's go to James, 97.1. James, you get the final word. What's going on?
Gentlemen, I understand what you guys are talking about, but I disagree with all you guys completely 100%. The last 3 years, last 2 years, you guys done nothing but praise Brad Holmes for his drafting. So because he didn't draft, which he did draft an edge rusher later in the round, so we did draft somebody. Don't know if this kid's going to be good or not, but we did draft somebody. So, but because we didn't get the person that you guys want, you guys are turning on Holmes now.
No, I haven't named a single person I wanted. Second of all, I'm not turning on him. I just got done saying he's done a hell of a nice job. I just
Rico is.
No, I'm not.
Rico, you're ready to toss him out the door right now the way you're talking about it.
No, James, what you heard was I disagreed with him. And in today's day and age, if you disagree with somebody, you're a hater. No, I like what he's doing, and I think this can put him over the top. This can make this team into a winning team. But when he comes out and says, I don't get it, and we already got one, and that's all we need – I see it all the time that your Super Bowl winning rusher. Teams have pass rushers.
All right, everybody calm down. Go ahead, James.
But, you know, you have to have faith. Who says this kid that we drafted this year is not going to be good?
Okay, and who says he makes the team?
Receiver,
I mean, we can go that route, too.
Before I forget, I watched the draft. I watched when they. I was actually quite shocked. But those experts on ESPN, when they talked about that wide receiver, they said it was a great pick, a perfect fit for Detroit.
You mean the same experts who had Shador as the number one overall pick and had a psychological break for four straight days?
Uh-oh.
We're good on that.
Uh-oh.
I really don't care what Lewis Riddick has to say. The whole point is, if he likes the wide receiver, I'll go with it. But I don't need old Vidal Sassoon to tell me whether it's a good pick or not. Mel Kiper has executed one of the greatest grifts in the history of sports. Shout out having DeShone Kizer as the number two overall pick like 7 years ago. How about bitching and moaning that Jim Harbaugh was the starter in Indianapolis and not, wait for it, Trent Dilfer? How about comparing Jamarcus Russell to John Elway? These are all Mel Kiper hits. I'm good.
And the fact, if you dare question somebody, doesn't make you a hater. If you can't question somebody, you're part of a cult.
Kind of getting there in this town. All right, we'll get back into the Brad Holmes and Steve Yzerman news of the day. Just a couple of kind of house cleaning notes. Get Rico's take on a few things. One, anything you want to know about this Bill Belichick Sunday morning interview, it is now reaching Glenn Close fatal attraction levels. TMZ is reporting not only did Jordan Hudson, Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, he's 73, not only did she shut down the interview multiple times, not only did Bill Belichick not show up with any UNC rep or anyone from his actual publishing company. No one. He just showed up with her. Which, by the way, guys, when someone like Belichick, who's writing a book, shows up to an interview like this, it's an entire PR team that shows up. This is, forget unusual, that got left in the barn.
Yeah.
This is outer space to just show up with your girlfriend. Second, third, fifth.
Yeah, because the team comes with questions. Hey, make sure you ask him about this.
Correct.
And about that. And these things happen in this chapter.
Rico, it is being reported by TMZ, even when Belichick would go to answer football questions, Jordan Hudson would interrupt and correct the coach.
Now, this is, you're saying, Glenn, this is Ray Liotta in Hannibal.
She stormed out of the interview and demanded he follow her out. CBS scrambled, this is according to the latest reports, had to scramble to piece this thing together and salvage it. Here's how bad it was. They had a second interview scheduled with Belichick for a later date, canceled it.
He did or they did?
They did. And you know, this is ratings gold. You get Bill Belichick on TV, ratings gold. But here's the interesting part. They left her interrupting the interview in the final edit.
Because they probably wanted to show, hey, guys, here's a little taste of what we had to go. And I guess if I'm Carolina, I would be upset as well. Like, wait, so you're not wearing anything, North Carolina? You're not doing anything to help bring in kids here? Yeah, there's something very strange going on. Because I saw a little bit of the interruption. It's like, because once again, and it wasn't a gotcha thing. It looked like the guy was just kind of genuinely saying, hey, how did you guys meet? That's a common question for couples. David, how'd you meet your wife? And she, we're not answering, don't answer that. Okay, now I have more questions.
Look, I just can't help but feel like some, Bill, if you're okay, blink twice. All right, so that was one. You guys can check all that out. The reporting's everywhere. I wanted one other note, just 4 minutes, and then I'll move on. I had this opinion at the start. I have the opinion today.
You changed your mind and Abdul Carter can have 56?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs, has been assassinated. I mean, people have just been using him as a human pinata for this Luka Doncic trade. Now, mind you, they leave out the details where AD, who'd been super reliable, got hurt, Kyrie died, and both their bigs in Gafford and Likely gone. Okay. Did you see Luka the other night? Have you watched Luka in this Minnesota series? Mm-hmm. What would you say you've seen?
A guy who's really can't finish the games out.
No, it's called if Kenny Cott was in the NBA. Because the conditioning is null.
Luka, trying to be PC about it?
No, I'm not going to be. Because here's the problem. What I saw, look at the fourth quarter the other day. How is 40-year-old LeBron James running circles around Luka Doncic? Conditioning.
I was about to say LeBron puts in like $1 million worth into his body.
Luka went 1 for 6 in the fourth. And by the way, in that game with his 38 points, how many rebounds and assists did he have total?
I don't know.
No, you don't need to look. 3. Total. He did nothing. Luka is a completely helpless defensive player. And the T-Wolves are exploiting it, just like the Celtics did. Luka can't go deep in these series and go deep in games. Why? His conditioning is an embarrassment. Now, look, I'll never understand how Harrison didn't shop. Fine. But the actual trade, I stand by it. Until or unless Luka Doncic decides I want to be an all-time great, why am I handing you $400 million when 40-year-old LeBron, who's one step from like Walt Disney frozen head therapy, who knows what LeBron's into to be playing? Yeah. LeBron goes transformer mode. Here's Luka looking for a Marlboro Red. I know it's convenient media narrative. Keep pounding Nico Harrison. Keep making fun of him. Guy doesn't have a brain. Ask yourself, was he really that crazy? This kid has no intention of changing who he is. None.
No. You know why? Because I think he feels I'm good enough, so why do I need to try to improve
myself? He's good enough to make the All-Star team. He's good enough to sell tickets. He's good enough to be flashy. But when I need you in the fourth quarter of playoff series, forget about the NBA Finals. I need you to close series. Watch these games. Don't just take your cues from... Watch the games. Don't look for the bathwater drinkers. Watch. You are playing 4-on-5 defensively in a way that is not even close to like star X is not a good defender. No, I'm talking about you're playing what Ben Wallace was to your offense is what Luka is to your defense.
Ooh.
You are playing 4-on-5.
You are exactly right. And I know, I get it. I don't even look at this a stat as something I look at for real, like plus minus, who cares? But he scored 38 points. And he was a -3, which means, okay, sure, you're scoring, but you're doing absolutely nothing else on the court.
Nope.
What? 38 points and a -3? That's crazy.
Yeah, because here's the thing, David. I think the league really wanted that Lakers-Warriors next round. Warriors are doing their job. They're about to knock off the 2 seed and the Rockets. The Lakers? Yeah, you would think the Timberwolves.
I'm just making the point, and I know
I'm with you
because This isn't a Johnny come lately opinion. I watched Luka for an entire series against my team, and last year's Dallas Mavericks were a very good basketball team. They couldn't overcome the fact this kid cannot play defense. And he's not physically in shape enough to give you what you need.
Mike, I thought that was going to change. I thought all of that was changing once he got out of Dallas, and now he's playing with LeBron as a Laker. I thought, you know what? It's going to be a new Luka. And look, you're right. Fourth quarter is like...
I'll make a bet with you. And it's just a fun one. And if I'm wrong, I'll buy you lunch. If you're wrong, you buy me lunch. Provided they're all healthy next year, Dallas will be better than the Lakers. I'm serious.
Will Nico still be the general manager?
Hey, I can't control that.
No, I'm just saying, this man may get fired. It's not the same, but it was kind of like Joe Dumars drafted all these players and he got fired. And then they all went on and
they had zero total games with AD playing with either of the starting centers. And then when AD comes back, Kyrie dies. You got to just chalk it up to horrifically bad luck. But the idea is I don't want to pay Luka, what was it? 55 a year? Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to end up making like 35% of your salary cap. And then I can't rely on you to help me close games. Now, I know that won't get reported by... But for people actually watching...
I guess he's on the Joker workout program.
The difference is Joker closes.
He does.
He may look miserable... He may look like he owes a bookie money. I don't know.
In the timeouts, he smokes a cigarette. Give me a couple puffs. All right, I'm back on the court.
He is who he is, but I never doubt his ability to close the game. 248-539-9797. We'll circle back to local stuff next. 97.1.